Greetings, Anchored in Jesus radio family. I'm coming to you with a special announcement. I would like to invite you to join me on a trip of a lifetime. Anchored in Jesus Ministries is partnering with Dr. John Stanko of Purpose Quest to go to Israel in 2018. The dates are April 24th through May 4th. Your trip to Israel will make the Bible come alive in new and exciting ways as we visit many sites where the biblical events took place. For more information, visit the Anchored in Jesus website at www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today as Dr. Glaze begins a new series on prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of I Cannot Pray, Hindrances to Prayer.
Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, we read these words. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And as I announced last week, we are starting a series on prayer. And we are going to let that be the focus of our church this year. We're going to be focusing on prayer. And we come this morning and we're talking about prayer. And what we want to look at this morning is, you know, what are some hindrances to prayer? You know, I cannot pray. Some people have a hard time praying. And the reason that they have a hard time praying is because there's some things in their life that is blocking up the flow between you and God. And hopefully we can identify some of those things this morning and help you to get, as I heard one person say, help you to get on praying ground. You know, everybody in here should be on praying ground. Now, I know that some people can pray out loud and some people are not comfortable praying out loud. I understand that. But at any point, we should be able to come up to a child of God and ask them to pray, and that, you know, this person shouldn't have to go get their life right, or this person shouldn't have to go get things in order in their life, but we should be able to approach anybody at any time and that person be on praying ground and they can pray and get their answer to prayer. So we want to look this morning at what are some hindrances to prayer. Father, we ask that you would be with us today as we look at this topic. And Father, that you would challenge our lives and help us to see that you are a prayer-answering God, that's what you do, that you answer prayer. You wouldn't have told us to pray if you weren't going to answer them. And so, Father, help us to realize what are some things in our lives that might be blocking up the flow, and help us to deal with those effectively so that we can come to you and have full assurance, as 1 John says, that we have this confidence if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. So, Father, we pray that you would let us pray with boldness and confidence as we come before the throne. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, we invite the congregation to come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, from your table. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. I've been at a lot of weddings and a lot of funerals, and it seems like one thing that's always quoted at both events is the Lord's Prayer. And I've been, and I'll use the word guilty of this as a leader, as a pastor, as a worship leader, of saying, well, let's all recite the Lord's Prayer together. And as I studied the Lord's Prayer, the Lord began to convict me that when I do that, and I'm not going to say I won't do it again, but I'm just saying the Lord began to convict me that sometimes when you do that, all you're doing is getting people to lie. Because you're saying, well, let's recite the Lord's Prayer, and then people recite the Lord's Prayer, and they don't mean what they're saying. And they're just reciting it out of memory, and they're not reciting it with heart and with passion. And so the Lord has really, as I've studied this Lord's Prayer, the Lord has really opened my eyes to some things that whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, that, you know, we ought to take a different attitude, and our mindset ought to change, and there ought to be a different perspective that we look at this from. Now, the other thing I want to say is that really we call this the Lord's Prayer because, you know, traditionally that's what we've identified it as, but this really is not the Lord's Prayer. I tell people all the time, if you really want to see the Lord's Prayer, you turn to John chapter 17. That's the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is on his face before the Father, and he's interceding for us, knowing that he's getting ready to go to the cross. So that's really the Lord's Prayer. A better term for the prayer that we see in Matthew chapter 6 and in the Gospels is the disciples' prayer, because the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. And you know, if there's anything that people should want to know is, how can I pray? You know, we got a lot of things going on, and I thank God for Bethany Baptist Church. You know, we got a Bible Institute. We got a counseling program. People stood up here with mission and ministry moments today about things that will help us to get better, and all those things are good, and we need to do those things to help us become better believers. But one thing that all of us should be interested in, yeah, that whenever somebody says that I'm going to teach you how to pray, we all should be interested in that. Somebody say, well, I already know how to pray. Well, then you ought to be teaching others how to pray. But we find that sometimes, you know, people don't know how to pray. Like I said, some people I found out over the years are embarrassed to pray. If you ask them to pray, you know, they're not comfortable praying out loud. But that same person that's not comfortable praying out loud, I hope that in your heart you know how to pray. Amen? I hope that in your heart, even though you're not comfortable praying out loud, now understand that, I hope in your heart you know how to pray. And there's some folk that are praying out loud that don't know how to pray. You know, they're praying and the presence of God is nowhere around. They're praying and their voice is strange to God. But today we want to talk about, how can I get on praying grounds? You know, the aim of prayer is to communicate with God. And it's hard to believe that we would get on our knees or sit in our chairs or stand with our hands folded, whatever posture that we have in prayer, and that we pray and God does absolutely nothing. That means your prayer's in vain. That if you're sitting there, standing there, kneeling there, whatever the case may be, and you're talking to God, and God is not answering your prayer one way or another. Now, I know, you know, we got all kind of different formulas and philosophies. Some people say, well, you know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes God says wait, and sometimes God just says, are you kidding? So, you know, we got all kind of answers. But, you know, I believe that if we follow the Lord's Prayer, that we can pray to God and we can see results from our prayer because we are lining up with the prayer that God wants for us to pray. So whatever we would ask, if our heart is in the right place, we would see that God would accomplish his will. So what are some hindrances to prayer as we look at it this morning? First of all, if you look at your notes, I cannot pray our Father if I have not received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This deals with the father-child relationship, that God is our heavenly Father and that we are his children. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And then we also read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, especially verse 11, it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, good things to them that ask him? So one reason some folks' prayers are not don't get answered is because they're not God's child. And I stand here to tell you today that if you're here and you're not a Christian, If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the only prayer that God will answer because you are praying, the only prayer that God will answer is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, God in his sovereignty and God in his all-wise plan might work according to some purposes and things that he will work some things together in the life of an unbeliever to bring them to that point of repentance. But the only person that God will hear with a heart to answer that individual is if you are one of his children, if you are his child. And if you are not a child of God, you cannot pray our Father. As a matter of fact, Jesus, and I know some folk don't want to hear this. I really know that you don't want to hear this, but some religious folk, Jesus told in the Gospel of John that you are of your father. Somebody finish that for me. The devil. The devil. See, you know, there was this this philosophy that was out years ago, and it was called fog bomb, F-O-G-B-O-M, fog bomb. What is that? The fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. All right? Now, God is the creator of every person that comes into this earth. God is their creator, but God is not necessarily a father. God cannot become your father until you make him your father. And the only way that you can make him your father is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So first of all, what's going to hinder my prayers? You know, my prayers will be hindered if I have not received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I cannot pray if I have not received his Son as Savior. Second of all, I cannot pray who art in heaven if my pursuits are after the things of this world. Now, wouldn't it be a strange God who is in heaven and exalted above the earth, and here I am praying with primarily earthly purposes? Now, as a Christian, everything that I do, every prayer that I pray should be in line with heaven. Now, you know, here again, that don't mean that I become so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. But when we come to the serious issues of life, when we come to pray about things that make eternal differences, that we can't pray to a God is in heaven and we can't be running after earthly things. It just don't work that way. As a matter of fact, James chapter 4 and verse 3. People say, well, I prayed for such and such a thing, and I didn't get it. Well, James chapter 4 and verse 3, he tells you why you didn't get it. He said, you ask, and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. That's why God is not answering some folk prayer. As spiritual as your prayer might be, the fact of the matter is that your heart is evil, your heart is wicked, and your heart is off-center. It is not lining up with heaven. And if your heart is not lined up with heaven, then what you're asking is not from God. Now, you know, here again, you know, because I know that it's easy and preaching this message today, I don't get a chance to sit down and you don't get the chance to ask me questions. So we can walk away from here and talk, you know, with a lot of understanding or things on our heart that's not getting cleared up. Let me say this. I remember when I was in college. You know, when I had just first got saved, and I was in a college Bible study, and I remember one of the girls in the Bible study. I remember what she said. She said, you know, she said, I'm so committed to prayer, and I'm so trying to find God's will that I pray about what color shower curtain I should buy. And that thing stuck with me, man. I said, whoa, you know, I said, man, I need to get that deep, man. Where I'm seeking God, whatever color shower curtain he wants me to buy, that when I go to Target and I got to buy a shower curtain, I need to pray and say, God, show me what color. Well, you know what? If that's where you're at, then that's fine. But I'm not sure how that's going to affect eternity. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure that you know, God revealing to you the type of shower curtain that you should buy is going to affect eternity. But if that's where you're at, then hey, you know, I say praise God. I say praise God. If you're that sensitive in the leading of the Spirit of God, then that's how God is operating in your life, and I praise God for that. But I think that Often when we talk about prayer, you know, we are talking about things that affect eternity. And when we look at things that affect eternity, that we need to be lining up with heaven, and we need to find out what it is that God would have us to do. You know, where I'm going to live, where I'm going to work, who I'm going to marry. You know, those are some significant issues in life. And when we pray, we need to be connected with heaven in those things when we pray. But you know what happens sometimes? See, sometimes folk want to get married, and they don't necessarily care, you know, who the mate is. They just want a mate. And so what happens? What do they pray? You know, they pray what? Asking amiss. And they end up with somebody that God never intended for them to be with. And why is that? Because they didn't connect with heaven. They got ahead of God. They rushed ahead of God, and they got in a relationship they weren't supposed to be in, because what did they do? James 4:3 says they ask amiss that they might, what? Consume it upon their own lust. They wanted to get in a relationship to appease their flesh. And so we see here that I cannot pray who art in heaven if I'm pursuing after the things of this world. I cannot pray, hallowed be thy name. See, I'll tell you now, saints, this studying this Lord's Prayer will change you. It won't just let you recite the Lord's Prayer. Hopefully none of us will walk out of here today with the old perspective on the Lord's Prayer, that we'll have a fresh new perspective on the Lord's Prayer. And whenever we pray it, that we'll take it seriously and just not, you know, quote it from rote. As a matter of fact, Jesus even said in a couple of verses previously, he said that, what do the pagans do? They pray with vain repetitions. What is vain repetition? They pray the same thing over and over again and not connecting with what they're praying. And so it's very easy for us to get in the memorization part of the Lord's Prayer and not really let the heart, let there be a heart connection. He says, hallowed be thy name. I cannot pray, hallowed be thy name. And this deals with, you know, God and me as a worshiper. That here I am, a worshiper, and I'm coming to a holy God. I cannot pray, hallowed be thy name, if I am not seeking to live a life that is clean or pure and clean. How can I pray, Lord, holy be your name? Well, what did he say? Be ye what? Holy, because what? I'm holy. So if I'm saying, Lord, hallowed be your name. God, you are a thrice holy God. When Isaiah came into the presence of God, he heard the angels say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We serve a holy God, and God is looking for a holy people. Now, holy, does that mean that we're perfect? No, that doesn't mean we're perfect. But it means that we are separated unto God. We have dedicated our lives unto God. Is your life dedicated to God? That when you come and you pray and you say, hallowed or holy be your name, is that coming from a heart that's saying, God, I've separated my life to you? Lord, my life is dedicated to you to use however you see fit. Isaiah in chapter 59, if you'll look there with me, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Powerful verse. Look what it says here. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean that God is so filled up with things going on that he cannot hear your prayer request. It says that God is a prayer-hearing God, that God is a prayer-answering God. But why are people not getting their prayers answered? Because of verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear you. That he will not hear you. I cannot pray, hallowed be thy name, if I'm not seeking to live a life that's separated unto God. A life that's pure and clean. It says right here. It says that if I let sin dwell in my life, that the Lord will not hear me. And what a shame, you know, people come to the altar week after week. I know I come to the altar week after week, and I'm praying. And the one thing that I want to know is that God hears me. That's the one thing that I want to know. When I kneel at this altar, or when you stand in front of this altar, the one thing that you ought to want to know, that God hears you. And if there's sin in your life, if your life is impure, then the Bible says right here, oh, God has ears and he can hear your words, but God is not hearing with a sense of being inclined to answer your prayer. His hand is not short that he cannot save. And his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. The only reason that God holds up some people's prayer is because there's sin in their life. And God says, I will not hear you. I cannot pray, our Father, if I haven't received his Son as my Savior. I cannot pray, who art in heaven, if I'm chasing after things of this world. I cannot pray, hallowed be thy name, if I'm not seeking to be separated unto him. I cannot pray, thy kingdom come. What is the relationship here? The relationship here is between a king and a subject. Thy kingdom. When I pray in the Lord's Prayer and I say, thy kingdom come, what am I saying? I'm saying, Lord, you are the king, and I'm your subject. And what do the king and the subject have in common? The fact is that once again, we got a president. We've had presidents. And what do the presidents do? Whether we agree with them or not, what do? They set up laws, right? The president with the Congress and the House of Representatives, they all Senate, they all work together to do what? Set up laws. And when they set up laws, what do they expect us to do? Obey them. Amen. They expect us to obey them. And so if I'm praying, thy kingdom come, what am I saying? I'm saying, Lord, you are king. And I am a citizen in your kingdom. And whatever laws that you have set up, oh, bless his holy name. Oh, bless his name. Whatever laws you have set up, I'm going to obey them. In 1 John chapter 3, it says this, beloved, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have boldness toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Why? Because we keep his commandments. Look what it says. Whatever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments. That he is the king, and we are the citizens, and we are going to obey his commands. I remember one time I was talking to one of the deacons at the church where I used to pastor out in the country, and he said something to me I'll never forget. He was standing there with a cigarette in his hand, smoking, blowing smoke, and I remember what he said. I was telling him something about the Bible. And he said to me, he said, and my wife was right there too, so she'll back this up. He said, I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I believe. And I thought about it. What is he doing? He's setting up a whole set of rules for himself to live by. He got his own guidelines, and he got his own rules to live by. So he can't pray, thy kingdom come. Why? Because he's operating on his own rules. He don't care what the Bible says. He is going to do it the way he thinks is right. And as bold as he was in that statement, there are many Christians who are not as bold as he was to say that out loud, but in their hearts, I don't...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of I Cannot Pray, Hindrances to Prayer. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, I Cannot Pray, Hindrances to Prayer, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I Cannot Pray, Hindrances to Prayer. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I Cannot Pray, Hindrances to Prayer. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.